We worship your name. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you for a time like this, Lord, to come before you. To sit at your feet, to receive from you. But we do not take for granted the wonderful privilege we have to be the recipients of the words of eternal life. It's so easy to take for granted that which is not common elsewhere. Indeed, that which is scarce. It is so easy to become too familiar with it, and in becoming familiar, take it for granted and not realize what a privilege. What a privilege it is to be the hearers of the words of eternal life. Words that many earnest men, righteous men within the limits available in their time, men who still attend unto righteousness, yearned, sought these words. Men who in faith saw the city of God. And in sin, chose not to have a dwelling place here on earth, that they might be partakers of that city. These men yearned, desired to be let into the mystery of salvation in Christ. And now we are the free recipients of all that. Lord, may we not be a people who take this privilege for granted. In the name of Jesus. When you invest, you expect a return. When you invest, you do so with a view to obtaining a return. And you made it clear, when you invest and there is no return, there is an accounting for that waste. Hence the warning about him who got one talent and went and hid it. You've made it clear that to whom you invest so much, you expect increase, many times increase. Lord, we thank you that within that investment is the power to produce increase. For you say your word is that which goes forth and cannot return unto you void, because within that word is a capacity to bring forth life. All you ask is that we be people who hear, as the brother said today, who will go through the who will digest your word such that at the end we are changed. We are changed by your word unto the image of Christ. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. We come this evening ready to receive yet again. Ready to receive your word. Lord, we prepare our hearts. We prepare our hearts for key to the bearing of fruit is the preparation of suitable ground to receive. Lord, let our hearts today be good ground in the name of Jesus. We yield our hearts to you today as good ground. You are here to sow. You have been sowing this weekend. All you ask is good ground. Lord, take away the stony hardness within our hearts. Take away thorns within our hearts. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. We yield to you. We surrender to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
We thank you.
Hallelujah.
We bless you. We worship you. You are crowned God of all creation, the King of glory, the Most High God, the Governor of Zion, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty God. All power, authority belongs to you. You see all things, you know all things. Nothing is impossible with you. All that oppose you will be crushed before you. Every kingdom will fall before you. Every rule, authority will bow before you. Every knee will submit unto you. And Lord, we want to thank you tonight. Unto the Lord our God, we have come. Yes, you know that will finish the work in righteousness. You will make an end of that which you have started. He said you will make an end of sin. You will, O God Almighty, bring in everlasting righteousness. You will seal up the vision and the prophecy. You will anoint the Most Holy. With you there is power. When you propose, who can hinder it? Who can say unto you, what are you doing? You have set your throne in the heavens. Your kingdom ruleth over all. We bless you today. Blessed is that nation whose God is Jehovah. Blessed is the people whom he had chosen for an inheritance. We bless ourselves tonight in the God of Abraham. We thank you. Father, we just receive tonight a release of your spirit. Amen. Open up the fountains tonight. Amen. Let it flow. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brethren, the Lord says that he is bringing us into a land of fountains. Hallelujah. A land of springs. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8 or 9. It says, it's a land of water flowing in the hills and in the valleys. Praise the name of the Lord. And it's a land of barley, of wheat, and of fruits. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we settling down? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this is the land that God wants to bring us into. As we worship the Lord, as we move up, praise the name of the Lord. Now, I'm sure we know that as we begin to worship, the soul begins to move up. Praise the name of the Lord. It moves from one degree of glory unto another. Hallelujah. And in these realms, there are rivers flowing. You know, once in a while you hit one river and there's a surge of water. Praise the name of the Lord. You feel, yes, this is the land that God wants to bring us into. And he says, it's a land where these fountains flow, put in the mountains. In other words, sometimes we're in the mountain experience. You know that. The river is flowing. We are rejoicing. We are joyful. But also, it flows in the valley too. Praise the name of the Lord. In the valley experiences, this river of joy will also flow. Praise the name of the Lord. So God wants to bring us into a life where this river flows, no matter the outward situation. Praise the name of the Lord. The outward situation is not the determinant. The inner reality, that river that, you know, makes glad the city of our God, is a consistent river. Praise the name of the Lord. It's a land of barley. You know, we must have that barley experience of Passover. And it's a land of wheat. We must have the wheat experience of Passover, as my brother was talking about. And it's a land of the fig, the vine, and the olive tree. Praise the name of the Lord. It's a land of a total and a complete experience in Christ Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the land that God is bringing us into. Praise the name of the Lord. And it's a wonderful land. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's where we started in the morning. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Okay. Now I will read verse 4. Amplified. It says, "But you are not giving up to the power of darkness, brethren, for that day to overtake you by surprise like a thief." Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this is what we have started looking at. You are not yet handed over to darkness. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together, brethren? We have not been given up over to darkness. And brethren, it is a privilege that we have, because darkness is covering the earth. Everything in creation is progressing towards a climax. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. It says that the end of all things is at hand. Praise the name of the Lord. That word there, I said, is a Greek word, telos. It means the goal, the destination, the climax of all things is at hand. Everything is coming to its peak, its fullness. Light and darkness. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this is where we are. And one of the reasons why Paul was writing and said, you need to be aware of the times and of the seasons, is so that you will know. There is only one reason. You will know what manner of man you ought to be. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, it's very important. I need to know what manner of person I ought to be at this time, seeing that all things shall be dissolved. You know, the Bible says that this world, this age, this dispensation is what now? Passing away. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, if I understand that it's passing away, now I should be able to relate to it with that understanding. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if I am not able to relate to this world, it says that the world and all the lusts, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is passing away. But that he that doeth the will of God endureth. Now, there is something about a person who is married to the will of God. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a will of God. Praise the name of the Lord. If you look through the writings of Paul, you look through Ephesians, look through Colossians, you see the Bible talks about the mystery of his will. Do you understand that? Now, that's a very deep mystery. Before I was born, God made a plan concerning me. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I am not an accident. Do you understand? It doesn't matter how I came about. Whether my mother was a prostitute, dropped me in the garbage can, and then somebody picked me up. It is irrelevant. Praise the name of the Lord. The fact that at somewhere, at a point in time, I heard this word. I don't know if you understand me. It's a privilege to hear what you are hearing. It's a great privilege. Something that we must not take for granted. You see that kings, great men, wanted to hear this word. You know, sometimes when you see the way the people of God respond to this word, then you begin to understand that we do not understand what we are hearing. We don't understand what we are hearing. Now, before I was born, the Lord had a plan to have a family. Do you understand that? Sons in His own image. It was a plan. And before I was born, He marked me out. Now, I don't understand that. Praise the name of the Lord. But that's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not preaching. You understand the point of what I'm saying? Now, but the truth is that you do not have sufficient confidence in what you are doing, where you're going, if you do not understand that the Lord knew you and that He called you by what now? Your name. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You need to know that before you were born, the Lord knew you, called you by name and said, you will be my servant. Are we together, brethren? So what I'm doing is not accidental. Praise, it's anchored on something. Anchored on one whose plan will certainly come to pass. That I hear this word, I heard it was not an accident. The Lord was calling me. Before I knew Him, He knew me. He loved me and He started calling me. I was going about my business, He kept calling me. He kept arranging situations and circumstances, do you understand the point, to draw me to what now? To Himself. It was His mercy. Somehow, by His mercy, I responded to Him. Now I'm beginning to come to understand a little bit of this business. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm not about to let it go. Do you understand the point? I plan to believe and believe unto the saving of my soul. So that what He began, He will finish. I am the only person who can take out myself from God's program. Are we together? Even the devil cannot take you out. You are the one that will walk out of it. Are you understanding me, brethren? Don't let the devil tell you that. Do you understand? If you make up your mind, the Bible said that Mary had chosen the better part. No man can take it away from her. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't care how strong, how weak, how spiritual, how unspiritual you are. If you keep holding on to the Lord like this, nobody can take you out of His hand. Praise the name of the Lord. So this word you are hearing is your anchor. Get a hold of it. The devil can do nothing. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together, brethren? They overcame Him by the word of their testimony. Do you understand me? See, brethren, when God made the animals, He brought them to Adam. Are we together? He brought them to Adam to see what Adam would name them. And whatever Adam named that animal, that's what his name was. Permanently. You may be passing through different circumstances. It is you that will name that circumstance. Are you getting my point? It is you that will determine that circumstance. Let me explain what I mean by that. You see, the enemy plans it for evil. Are you understanding me? He plans it for what now? For evil. What do you call that situation? That's what is going to be. Praise the name of the Lord. Even the afflictions, tribulation, trouble, the Bible says they work for us. Are you understanding that? They work. It's you that determines that this thing is not unto death, but that the glory of God might be revealed. Now this is the victory that overcometh the world. Now believe me, when a man has that understanding, there's nothing the enemy can put on your way that can stop you. Nothing can stop you. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to understand that. That the one who is backing you does not fail. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And so that's the way it is. So brethren, as we begin to realize this, my attitude towards this word changes. Praise the name of the Lord. I need to begin to understand that He created all things by the word of His power. Praise the name of the Lord. And this word, when it goes forth out of His mouth, is not designed to return void. I was not created to return void. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus said so. He said, I come from the Father. I am coming to this world. and I go back to the Father. But I am not going back empty and void. I am going back full of Christ. Are we together, brethren? Yes. You are not to return void. You see, when a man comes into this world, praise the name of the Lord, your body is there, your soul is there, and your spirit. Now your spirit has a mandate to come back. To come back holding the soul. Do you understand the point? That is his assignment. Now it is the soul that says, I will not go with this man. Now if the soul says, I won't go with this man, then the spirit is discharged from its, obligation. But if the soul says, I will go with this man, there's no power that can take, you understand the point? That out. No power that can take it out. Praise the name of the Lord. So, and this is where I must anchor. You know, your life must have an anchor. Do you understand? There must be something that you're anchoring on that is greater than you. Are you getting my point? Something you're anchoring on that, you understand? Somebody, bro, talks was talking about the immutability of his promise. That by this we will have an anchor for what now? Our soul. Well, soul needs an anchor. And this anchor goes, doesn't stop anywhere, gets to the holy of what now? Of holies. Hold on to the anchor, surely you will get there. Praise the name of the Lord. So, brethren, we are living in a time we must have clear understanding. Because there are things that are going to challenge you. This is the hour of darkness. Now, darkness will be allowed to operate. Do you understand? You know, Jesus said, I was with you in the temple. All this while, you couldn't do anything. But now, it's your time. You are going to be allowed to do what you can do. Praise the name of the Lord. And he handed himself over to them. Now, what they didn't understand, like we have been saying here, is that it's a trap. God's plan to destroy darkness. Hallelujah. He has to lure darkness out of its hiding place. So I guess when Jesus Christ was, you know, given over, all the spirits in hell came out of their places for the final party. They did not know it was an ambush. Are we together, brethren? They did not know it was what now? An ambush. But they should have known. I mean, this was a man who was raising the dead. Do you understand the point? Raising the dead, and then you thought you could just kill him. It didn't make sense for me. Praise the name of the Lord. It didn't make sense that Pharaoh, who was beaten, suddenly, I don't know what came into his mind, and said, we have allowed the children of Israel to go. Let us go and get them back. And they foolishly entered into the water with Israel. Don't you understand? Israel was inside the water, and Egypt entered into the water. Only one person comes out alive. Are you getting my point? They all go down into death. But if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, oh my God, you will come out of it. They are going to be left down there. So, brethren, when I begin to understand the dealings of the Lord, I will not charge God foolishly. I do not need to understand my circumstances. Are you getting my point? But I need to trust him. He said to Jacob, don't worry, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. I will go down with you. I'm going to bring you out again. Praise the name of the Lord. And so this is the time that we are in. Things are really going to happen that will test our faith. Because darkness is going to be given the license. You know, just like Laban was allowed to search. Do you understand the point? This searching is, you know, how do I know if Brocade has anger inside him? I just go around him and stamp on his feet like this. And he next to hear, idiot! Are you getting my point? Where is it coming from? Right inside him. Meanwhile, he's been smiling very nicely. You understand the point? And we think he's such a wonderful brother. Do you understand the point? Well, praise God. If you shout idiot, it's also a good opportunity for you to realize, Lord, I have a problem. Praise the name of the Lord. Deal with me. Are we together, brethren? And so, here we are in a time like this. And God says, we need to have understanding that this is the time given over to darkness. And all over the world, darkness is covering the earth. And gross darkness, the people. When you read the people, it's talking about the people of Israel. Are you understanding that? That's the church. Are we together? Why would gross darkness cover the people? Because the Bible says, if the light that is in you becomes darkness. Are we together? How great is what now? That darkness. But Tox was reading, those who have been enlightened once. Are we together? Have tasted of this thing. Praise the name of the Lord. That if they revolt from the faith. And brethren, there's going to be a revolt. This is a time of that great revolt. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, we must understand this. These are the dynamics, the manifestations of darkness. There was a man who planted a vineyard. You remember him? And let out this vineyard. Praise. I'm just going to take a little sketch from that story. Okay? And the arrangement. He put certain things in that vineyard. You know very well that there was a wall around it. That hedge was a hedge of protection. All of us were created with a covering. Praise the name of the Lord. Good. Then he put a watchtower. Do you understand that? That also is you have the ability to have fellowship with who now? With God. Praise the name of the Lord. A tower is a place of communion. Right? Yes. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and I will hear what he will say to me. I can hear God. You have the ability and the capacity to hear God. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And it's also a place of, you know, the vision that I can see afar off. Praise the name of the Lord. God can show me things to happen tomorrow, things about my environment and all that. And then thirdly, it had a wine press. That's the mystery of suffering in this whole arrangement. Praise the name of the Lord. That's where the grape is, you know, crushed. And he let it out to husbandmen. Now, this house is a rented accommodation. You know that very well. The church is also rented. Praise the name of the Lord. The ministries God set in the church are husbandmen. They are tenants. But you see, there's a problem. And the arrangement was at the season of fruits. We have a sharing arrangement. Give to me my own share of the fruit. That's what the owner requested. For each season, Passover, he must get his barley. Are we together? For Pentecost, he must get his, say, give me the first fruit. That's mine, isn't it? That's what he says. Then for tabernacles, he said, give me what now? The fruits. Because it is the harvest of fruits, the olive, the pomegranate, the vine. Do you understand that? And all that. Now, the problem doesn't start. The main problem doesn't start until the main harvest. Praise the name of the Lord. Because in seasons, he has been sending servants, and they've been treating the servants badly. Beating them, you know, and all this and all that. But when the problem starts is when he says, I will send my son. That's where the hidden agenda suddenly bursts open. Are we together, brethren? The thing had been in the heart. Their attitude had been showing. You know, when you look around the church today, you can guess that these people have an agenda. No, I'm not just talking about the church. I'm talking about also you and I. You must know that. Because our attitude today is showing something. We are laying claim to this vineyard. You understand me? It's my life. Don't tell me how to live it. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, and how do you do it? You make your decisions without consultation, isn't it? You pray as a last resort. When the trouble, you understand, comes, that's when you say, Lord, please, oh, have mercy, I'm very sorry. But, you know, it never occurs to you to consult before. You understand the point? Praise the name of the Lord. So, when he sent his son, how do we know? It's a ministry. Do you understand? Each of these messengers is actually a voice that has been coming. And Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners has been speaking to us through the servant, the prophet, then suddenly the mode and manner and atmosphere of ministry does what now? Changes. There is now an emphasis on the Son. Praise the name of the Lord. This kingdom word, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Before now, it was apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, these ministries are supposed to minister to the church and bring the church into a place of a personal relationship. Do you understand the point? The ministry of a prophet is to teach you to hear God. Yes. Are you understanding the point? Yes. And the more you are able to hear God, the more these ministries will begin to do what now? Decrease. Like John the Baptist said. He said, I must what? Decrease. Now, I believe that was only one reason why John the Baptist was said to be greater than all. What was it? He pointed men to who? To Christ. Do you understand? That was it. He did not point to himself. He said, behold the lamp, follow him. Everybody, his disciples, left him. And they began to follow the Christ. And he was happy. He said, my job is what now? It's done. My job is finished. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. You see, when I begin to hear his voice, I'm happy. Because I can say, Lord, they are yours. Now, today, there's going to be a conflict. Now, the conflict is, who owns this territory? Who owns this land? Who is in charge? And believe me, there is a spirit that has been moving around looking for cooperative souls to sow seeds of revolt. Are we together, brethren? This environment that you are seeing is preparing for a great revolt against God. And you have to decide that, look, I am not what? A part of it. It's a decision that you have to make. I won't be a part of this thing. And you also must not be ignorant. As we're going to see, there were 200 men that Absalom invited. This man did not know what was the game. Now, these were important men in Israel, prominent men. You know, if you're doing something and they are part of it, then people will have confidence in what you're doing. So Absalom invited them and they came. They did not know what they were coming for. We must not be ignorant. Praise the name of the Lord. In a time like this, we must be very discerning to know exactly the implications of what we are involved in and what we are engaged in. Brethren, are we together, brethren? Praise the name of the Lord. This world is not as innocent as it looks. Praise the name of the Lord. Things should not be taken at face value. You need to be able to say, how does this affect the headship of Christ? You know, because, you know, God was speaking about Ephraim in Hosea. He said that Ephraim is a foolish child, a foolish son. Do you understand? He says that he should not dwell too long. King James says he should not dwell too long in the place of the breaking forth of children. Now, I had time to look at quite a number of translations. And one thing came clear. He said that one translation says, when it was time for the child to come forth from the womb, Ephraim did not position himself well. Are we together? It's a child in the womb. Now, normally, when a woman is about to give birth to a child, you know what happens? The child turns and the head does what? Comes first. Are we together? The head comes first. Now, if the head doesn't come first, that's a big problem. You understand? You know that very well. That's a big problem. Now, we are preparing. Everybody's talking about the man-child. She's a woman in travail. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, you must position yourself well. What does that mean? It means that the head must come first. It must have preeminence in all things. In your decision-making. It's not my interest first. It is what now? His interest. That consciousness must begin to come upon us. Otherwise, you are not ready for birthing. There's going to be a disaster somewhere. Are we together? Normally, of course, medical, you know this, you know that if the thing doesn't, you don't position it well, the knife has to do what now? Come. Praise the name of the Lord. So this, the consciousness and the understanding of the times that we are in must be real in us. Now that impacts on my lifestyle. Praise the name of the Lord. It impacts on my choices. It impacts on the way I spend my money. Now this is one area that, you know, we have a challenge with. You know, what Brother Tokes was talking about Joseph. Praise the name of the Lord. And I found that very interesting because recently God began to speak to me about that. You know, Joseph at this point is a type of Jesus Christ. Do you understand the point? Now, he brings forth a ministry in Egypt. You know, what was the essence of the ministry? By the time Joseph is done with the people, everything belongs to Pharaoh. Are you understanding that? The houses belong to Pharaoh. The money belongs to Pharaoh. Eventually, even their body and their soul, everything belongs to who now? To Pharaoh. Now, that is the essence of ministry. The true ministry brings you to a point when everything is given over to who? To the king. Oh, hallelujah, brethren. Are we understanding me? Yes, that's the essence of ministry. By the time the ministry of Joseph was going forth, everything, your money must belong to him. Your house must belong to him. Your body must belong to him. Even your family, your wife, your children, everything must belong to him. Praise the name of the Lord. It became a perpetual law. Now, if we're hearing this word and the king is not getting his due, do you understand the point? His share of the fruit, then there's going to be a problem. Now, when the time comes, what happens? The people said, here is the son. When they saw him, they said, here is the heir. Let us what now? Kill him. And then what will happen? The vineyard will be ours. Now, you may think that's a joke. Now, this one that is to be killed is somewhere here. How do I kill something that is dwelling inside me? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, for the church, we can understand. There's a challenge. If the Lord Jesus were to come in today and step into one big church, there's going to be a problem. Because, believe me, the pastor will not want to give way. Are we together? Will not want to give way. You think it's a joke? No, it's not a joke. That's when the true position will be manifested. He won't want to give way. I remember a clip somebody sent me. There was a woman whose husband died. So they were in the church during the funeral. So the man was inside a casket, you know, dead. And the woman was praying. Oh Lord! She was crying. Oh Lord, take me! Take me! Lord, take me! You know, take me, Lord! And, you know, then, the Lord appears. Jesus comes in. And he says, I've answered your prayer. He touches the man, Busha, and the man comes up. Oh, man, it was a refreshing sleep. Wow. And everybody's looking at the man. So the pastor now comes out. I say, who are you? Who are you? And Jesus says, I am Jesus. You don't know me? Then the pastor asked again, say, what are you doing here? Are you listening to me? What are you doing here? And he says, this is my father's house. Are you understanding me? This is my father's house. I mean, this is really surprising to ask such questions. Then the man says, how do I know you are Jesus? You understand? The pastor doesn't know him. How do I know you are Jesus? So Jesus walks to him and whispers something in his ears. The man says, yes, you are Jesus. You are Jesus. All right. Why? You know, there was something the man was doing nobody else knew. Are you understanding the point? Yeah, maybe he was involved in something, you know. And he was, even his wife doesn't know. So he said, you are Jesus, true. You are Jesus, all right. Only you can know this. Praise the name of the Lord. So, and that was it. In his church, Then the woman says, no, I didn't mean that prayer. So Jesus said, one of you is going to come with me. You know, and the woman says, I didn't mean it. And the man says, I'm not going back there. So that was the problem. Now, we are at a time when some strange things are going to be happening. You see, sometimes we don't understand the depth of this rebellious church system. If we did, our attitude would definitely change. Because they're going to come out openly and challenge. And there's going to be a problem. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, this is where we are at this time. The Lord was saying here, you have not yet been given over to the power of darkness. Now, men are going to be given over. Darkness is going to overtake men. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, why would that be? I want us to start. Let's get to Luke chapter 22. Let's start our story there. Luke 22. Praise the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 22. Now, this is a story of Jesus on trial. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus on trial. You know, like I said in the morning, he came as an offering. Praise the name of the Lord. He knew that was his calling. He knew that was why he came. And brethren, we must know that we are also being prepared to be what now? Offered. To be presented. Hallelujah. Just the way Jesus had to take himself, his blood, and present to the Father. For what now? For inspection. Now, the reason for this was that before time, God has announced you as his champion. Are you understanding that? Now, this is the basis behind, it says, consider my servant Job. Now, the moment God points you out as his vindication, do you understand the point? You know, the enemy says, look, everybody wants independence. Everybody wants to be free of your yoke. Everybody wants to be free of your government. They want to be their own masters. And God says, no, I have a remnant. I have a people. Praise the name of the Lord. And the devil said, I want to see them. Let's put them to the test. So any time, you know, Job's problem started because the Lord pointed him out. The moment you are pointed out, it means that he has a license to put you to the test. What was he saying? Does he worship you for nothing? You are giving him protection. Isn't that why most people go to church? Isn't that why? This year in Nigeria, they say January 1 is anointing for divine protection from accidents, from witchcraft, from this, and people are what? Rushing into the churches. You are giving him children. Isn't that why we are coming to church? You know, some give you children without pregnancy. Oh, you don't understand. I'm not joking now. I'm telling you real things. So you don't have to wait 9 months. There's one man, he anoints you. Hallelujah. Now, you see, these things sound very unusual, but it's in Port Harcourt. Praise the name of the Lord. And you see, brethren, people are rushing. He says, isn't it because you are prospering him? You are blessed the work of his hands. I mean, isn't that why most people come to church? For what now? Prosperity. Now, by the time you check the churches and the people fill there, then how many come because of God? And the devil says, I know that. But God says, I have people who are worshipping me for me. And the devil says, you have the right to do what? Test them. Now, so this is the reason why all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. Do you understand? Because the enemy is out to prove that you are not the right material. But he said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Amen.
So, I am being packaged to be presented and to be inspected. Now, one of the implications of that is that you don't allow things. When Jesus was, you know, being questioned, they were throwing accusations, counter accusations. He wasn't actually responding to them. Praise the name of the Lord. He wasn't responding to them. You know what he responded to? When they asked him, are you the Son of God? Are you the King of the Jews? He couldn't deny, do you understand, his kingdom. There was no way he could deny that. But he wasn't responding to any of that thing. Praise the name of the Lord. Because he was not going to defile that offering. He was to present it without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, in, you know, before the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And now, brethren, we see we have a situation here where Israel had a choice they were trying to make. Praise the name of the Lord. They were clamoring. They said, crucify him. What was the issue there? What was the problem? Now, when you read Psalm 106, I want to read that and go back to this Luke 23. Praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. I will read from verse 7. It says, are we there? Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but they provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, Amplify says, our fathers in Egypt understood not nor appreciated your miracles. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, today we don't understand the essence of miracles. Praise the name of the Lord. It has become a thing in itself. And people are running after it, and people are chasing after it. It was something that God does to provoke faith and trust, do you understand, in him. And the essence of it is so that you would trust him to conclude what he started in you. These are demonstrations of his power to provoke faith. But people have started chasing after the miracles. Now look at verse 13. Praise the name of the Lord. 13 says, I read Amplified, it says, but they hastily forgot his works. They did not earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them. Now God has a plan.
Yes, sir.
Are we together? He wants to reproduce Christ in us.
Amen.
But Israel chased the miracles. And they didn't allow the plan of God. You know, the Bible says, let patience have its complete work. So that you might be entire, complete, without defect, lacking nothing in the divine nature and character. But they didn't wait. They started running after these miracles, and something happened. The Bible says, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tried to restrain God with their insistent desires in the desert. Now we are in a time of self-will. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, that's one thing that God wants to judge in the lives of his people. Self-will. God, I want it this way. I must have it this way. Now, nobody, a lot of the times, we don't vocally say it that way. But our attitude. And see, God listens to what now? Our hearts. We are living in a time when this generation is the most self-willed generation. You just need to look at our children. Do you understand? You know, adults can pretend. We can cover up our self-will very nicely. The children are just, you understand? I want. We can pretend, but we are as self-willed as our children. Praise the name of the Lord. See, they insisted, I want this. And now this was the challenge in before Pilate. Now, they wanted Jesus crucified. Praise the name of the Lord. But Tokumbo was reading Hebrews chapter 6 of a people who had had miracles. Do you understand the point? They had miracles, and then after all that, they revolted and crucified him, putting him to an open world shame. Now, this is the time. This revolt is simply the self-will. In our lives, why do I have quarrel with my brother? It is what? Self-will, isn't it? No, there's no two ways about it. That's what it is. My will clashing with what now? Your will. James said so. Say, from whence? How does war, crisis come? How do wars come about? He said they come from what now? The lusts. Isn't it? Yes, I want to have, you want to have. We want to have the same thing. Do you understand the point? You want to be head, chief elder. I also want to be what now? Chief elder. Are you understanding the point? We want prominence. We want preeminence. Now, not only that, there are many things that we could want. And once that I don't get what I want, my self-will begins to, you understand? Oh, I can package it anyhow. When I'm making my case, you would think Brocade is devil. Then when Brocade makes his own case, you would think that I am what now? Devil. But it's simply self-will. And believe me, brethren, God says he is going to bring a judgment. And this is the essence of this message. It's a warning to the church that certain things will not continue to be tolerated. Because God is going to give you what you want. So it's important this night that you find out exactly what you want. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what now? Wicked. So I need to look into my heart. That's what it says, God, search me. Now let me tell you why I need to be searched. Because there are things there I don't know. You know, there's a man at the pool of Bethesda. Okay? This man has been there for 38 years. Now, Jesus comes to the man and asks the man, do you wish to be made whole? Now, that's a very strange question. The man will be asking, are you seriously asking me that? After 38 years, here at this point. Now, I read that word from the Amplified. It says, do you earnestly? Are you earnestly desiring to be made whole? Do you really want to get out of this your condition? Now, when Jesus asks you that question, you better think two times. Because he's actually telling you something. Are you understanding more? He's telling you something. You know, and when I was looking through that scripture, I was looking at that word 38 years. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 4. Okay? This was number of years that Israel had to wander in the desert until the men of war died. And so the Lord was telling me, there are a lot of men of war where? Here. These wars must cease. Because while I was contemplating this, God says, look, you know, God needs to repair relationships in the body. He needs to bring forth love in the body. Because that is a critical issue, as we are also going to see. He said, the Israel was wandering for 38 years, to and fro. All this while, ministries were coming. One ministry will come, and the man will still be there. Another ministry will come, and the man was still there. Because of the men of war. Now, brethren, we have a capacity to war. I've seen Christians quarrel. Real, bitter, do you understand the point? And we have such capacity for animosity and for bitterness and for malice. Do you understand? And it is dangerous. Because this is the hour of darkness. Praise the name of the Lord. You need to know what you really want. That's what Jesus was telling the man. You need to be clear what you want. 38 years because of war. Praise the name of the Lord. 38 years. God says he wants to make wars to do what now? To cease. The power to hurt one another. The power to bear grudge and malice and offense. That's what kept a man lying there for 38 years. Until wars ceased. And then he says, get up. Take your bed and walk. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, there is a judgment, brethren, that God wants to execute within the heart. This is the point here. Israel insisted, we want meat, we want flesh. I want a ministry that will satisfy my fleshly. That's why the church has come to this point. I want to have my way. I must have my way. And the Bible says that the Lord actually gave them what they wanted. The consequences was terrible. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, Israel said, you know, Pilate said, what do you want? It doesn't make sense that you had Barabbas. And the funny thing is that his name was Jesus Barabbas. Are you understanding my point? Most of them were Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. See, the Barabbas didn't know who was Israel or Roman. He stole from everybody. Are you understanding my point? The man was not patriotic. Once he was in the mountain and you're coming, you had money. Whether you were a Roman or an Israelite, get the money. And if you mix, you go. So he was a terror to everybody. And eventually it was the Romans that caught him and put him in jail. But when the stakes were down, Brother Mark says, when the robber hit the road, these people chose Barabbas. They hated Jesus to that. What was their fear? Do you understand the point? You see, the words this man was speaking disturbed them. And they were not willing to change. They were not willing to give up their lifestyle. And brethren, this is the point. We've heard this message for so long. We need to review ourselves. This thing is going to deeper levels of consciousness. You know, brethren, believe me, there are levels of consciousness. If you really had today, somebody sent you a letter, that test you went yesterday, you understand? You actually have 2 days to live. Let's be frank. 2 days. Today is Saturday, right? By Monday, 2 p.m., you're going to be dead. I think this meeting will change. I'm telling you the truth. This meeting for you will do what? Will change. Every word you hear today will take on a new meaning. Are you together? Are you understanding me? Yeah, that's the truth. When a man really knows that he has about 2 weeks to live, he makes peace with all his enemies. Are you understanding my point? Everything changes. Even the wife that he used to shout, wah, 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 he begins to talk nicely to the woman. Do you know why? A new awareness has come to him. My prayer, brethren, is that this word will bring us to new levels of awareness. Amen. If the Bible says that this word is passing away, may we really see it as something worth now passing away. Praise the name of the Lord. May we see it so that when we are relating to it, we are relating to it as something that is transient, is passing, and not as something. In fact, sometimes when we relate to the world, you will think the world is going to last for forever. You will really think that this world is a permanent institution. And I don't believe, I was talking to the brother in the US. You know, we are from Africa, things don't work there. Do you understand the point? Then you come to America, wow, everything works. The brethren want the America to stay forever. So you talk about judgment, America being destroyed. And somebody says, no, he doesn't think so. The truth is that he doesn't want America to be what now? Destroyed. I mean, America is really, you know, doing him good. But brethren, we need to know, no matter how good the environment is, it is contrary to who? To God. It's a system that does not want God. It does not want God. It does not want God in its environment. And it is working to eliminate God. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, brethren, this level of consciousness must come to us. These people said,
Give us Jesus. Give us Barabbas. Now, the law was that at the feast, one prisoner must be what now? Released. And I've said here, those two prisoners are within my being. One must manifest. Praise the name of the Lord. And so you see the principle of darkness pushing to break forth. And you see the principle of light pushing to do what now? To break forth. Praise the name of the Lord. And so what would trigger darkness? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said that that day will not come except there be a revolt. There must be a what? Revolt. This revolt is a signal. Men are going to revolt. Say, let us break their bands what now? Asunder. Cast off every restraint. You know, humanity is already not pretending it. Praise the name of the Lord. Cast off every restraint. Men woke up one morning and say, we're going to have a nudist colony. The other ones just want to walk about naked. And there's nobody to stop it. Because we are God. Do you understand the point? Then you wake up the next day, it's going to be swapping wives. Do you understand the point? You give me your wife, I give you my wife. 2 weeks, 1 month, 1 year. And if we like, it can become what now? Permanent. There is no God. Praise the name of the Lord. Suddenly, today, you know, we are, the pedophiles are coming up. Do you notice that? Very soon, they are going to tell you, that's the way they are. And believe me, based on things, you have no reason to stop them. Because the boundaries are all gone. No, gay. I used to be in the closet. You remember, you know, somebody posted something. He said, when he came to America, homosexuality was, in fact, not just it was illegal. It was, you know, an abomination. Then suddenly, it became acceptable. Suddenly, it became open. Now it is legal. I better leave America before it becomes compulsory. Are you getting the point? I better just get out before it's now compulsory. No, but that's the progression. Are you following my point? That's the progression. And this is the thing coming out because of a choice. They chose Barabbas. Now, brethren, let me tell you, this choice is something we do every day. That's the point I'm trying to make here. In our daily lives, there is the spirit and there is the flesh. Do you understand that? Every day there are promptings that come from the spirit. There are promptings that come from the flesh. Do you understand the point? Choices matter a lot. Now, praise the name of the Lord. Choices matter a lot. So, they said, we want Barabbas. Now, 3 times, Pilate asked them. The first time, the second time, and the third time. Why must he die? What has he done? And they said, you know, the Bible, if Amplified says, they were insistent. They were insistent. They kept what now? Insisting. And insisting, and insisting. And Amplified says, their voices, what now? Prevail. Let not your voice prevail. Let the word of the Lord prevail. The Bible says, and finally it says that what they had asked should be done. And he said, wherefore God gave them what now? Over. Romans chapter 1. Praise the name of the Lord. Now read through Romans chapter 1. He says they refuse to acknowledge him. They refuse to give him his rightful position. They were acting as though they were what now? Lords. And brethren, our lifestyle, our choices, our decisions, praise the name of the Lord, is leading what? Somewhere. Now, that's the point I'm trying to make, brethren. Are we together? Don't think that it doesn't matter. Why it matters is because we have come to the time of conclusion. We have come to the time when, you know, the other day, this message, the time of final decisions. You know, in Nigeria, who wants to be a millionaire? You ask a question, and they say, is that your final answer? There is to be a final answer. And that final answer is what will be recorded for you. Everything, every decision we are making is going to crystallize into one final position. That will become your eternal position. Praise the name of the Lord. And this is a time, praise the name of the Lord, that we must be very conscious of this thing. Why must he die? Really, there is no other reason except that the enemy wants to terminate the Christ within us. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a battle to eliminate this Christ, this consciousness, this headship of Christ within you. And every time you make a choice, you are taking a position. Praise the name of the Lord. Pilate gave them, he said, okay, this is what you have chosen. I record it for you. You chose Barabbas. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this thing happens because of certain heart conditions that people have cultured over the years. We've attended fellowships. You know, people have come under the delusion that you attend end time fellowship. That makes you end time. It doesn't make you son anything. It just gives you an environment to press into something. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, if we don't get that, we will simply become end time denomination. Are you understanding me? If this word you hear here, you do not personally respond to it, get a hold of it, embrace it. You know, say they saw this thing from afar off. Do you understand? And they were persuaded of it. Are you understanding my point? There was that persuasion, that conviction, and then the Bible says they did what now? They embraced it. And they confessed by their lifestyle that they were strangers and what now? Pilgrims on the earth. Friend, I hope I'm communicating to us. You see, because God is going to shake up end time. Believe me, God is going to shake up end time. And shake up to the point that we are really going to be affected. Our lives are going to be so affected that we will begin to make choices. That we have really written, men, we have settled down, we have relaxed. And God wants to wake us up. You know, we're going to see the story of David. You know, Absalom, you know his story very well. Absalom is a type of this spirit of Antichrist. Do you understand that? He was the son of David. Now, you know that, you know, he was very ambitious. You know, the Bible says from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, there was no blemish in him. Just like Hillel. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. You know, and, you know, the Bible says he used to pull his hair. You know, I really used to think it was just the weight of the hair. Okay? But I began to check up a few commentaries, certain commentaries, and I found out that he actually sold the hair. And it was the cost, the value of that. You know, he was making merchandise out of the glory and the anointing that was all around him. Praise the name of God. He was a superstar. You understand? Absalom was a superstar minister. I don't know if you understand my point. And that pride began to build. I don't know if you understand me. The thing in your soul is like a womb, a woman's womb. Now, anything you accommodate, you know, today pornography is a plague in the church. The extent of it, if it is uncovered, people's faith might crash. If you find out those who are actually involved. And I don't blame them. You know, the enemy has made it available at... You know, sometimes I weep for our young people. You understand the point? Who are not just equipped to understand. You know, and it's a terrible thing because once you get in, it has a claw. It digs into your mind. It leaves images that just almost never go away. And once you get there, it doesn't want to let go. So you become a slave to it. You now begin to hide and hide Do you understand? And hide. And hide. And as you're doing that, it's damaging your, in fact, your ability to have normal lifestyle. It's damaged. And it just keeps growing. Praise the name of the Lord. And not, you see, this is what the enemy has. He has made things readily available. Knowing that these things are seeds, when they are planted, they just grow. Are we together, brethren? So the enemy is working. He knows exactly what he's doing. We are the ones that should be working too. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, the church has to come to a place of getting, you know, engaged to the word of God. At a level, because this word has power. We are the ones who have not activated the power that is in the word. The Bible says it is full of living power. Now every word has embedded in it the energy to do what it says. It is right there, inherent in it. It's an inherent energy waiting to be harnessed. I am not to live this life in my own what now? Strength. I don't know if you understand my point. This word is a spirit. It has spirit energy inside it. And you see, when this, I open up to it, it comes in, it takes over. Are we together, brethren? He said that when wisdom is entered into your soul, it takes over. He said discretion will begin to lead you. Your lifestyle becomes automatic. I don't know whether that is the right word. But it means that just like sin, most of the time we're not conscious. In fact, we realize we have sinned after the act. Because it's our nature. The word of God can become our nature. Do you understand the point? It is the thing that he said, it is Christ that liveth where now in me. It is no longer I that lives. I'm not the one driving the life. It has to come in, brethren. Less of television, more of what now? The words. Whatever you focus on, whatever the soul focuses on, the soul begins to conform to that thing. The soul begins to acquire an appetite for that thing. And when you begin to acquire an appetite for something, you lose an appetite for what now? For something else. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's the way it is. So, Absalom began to, you know how he did it? He set his throne before the throne of David. So if you want to see David, Absalom, make sure you see him what now? First. If you're passing, he will draw you. Come, brother, what's the problem? Do you understand the point? And then instead of going to tell David, you find yourself telling Absalom. And then when you tell Absalom, Absalom tells you, oh, your case is good and right. You understand the point? No rebuke, no correction. Flattering. You know, and this is what the people wanted. If I beat my wife, Absalom will say, yes, I know women. They can drive you what now? Crazy. Are you understanding the point? Brother, I understand you. You understand the point? Women can drive you nuts. So I understand if you swamp once in a while you lose your temper. It's okay, I can understand that. And when the man goes away, say, yes, that's the kind of minister we like. Doesn't preach hellfire, doesn't preach sin, doesn't preach flesh. You understand the point? He just motivates us. He motivates us. Oh, praise God. And he tells somebody, said, I like Absalom. He's not like David. You understand the point? David would have told him, you're a fool. You understand? No man hates his own body. Do you understand? He doesn't want to hear that. So before you know what's happening, Absalom is becoming popular. And he is consciously gauging his popularity. He's building it up. Believe me, the enemy is building up within my soul. He wants to know when he has acquired sufficient energy to do what now? Take over. Do you understand? It's like a corporate takeover. When you acquire enough shares, do you understand? You launch a vote. Say, let's vote. Who's in charge? And before you know what's happening, you are now president and CEO. Because he has built sufficient energy. He was watching. And he kept building up until he felt, I have enough support. Then he openly declares, do you understand the point? His rebellion. Are you together, brethren? You see, the church today, we have been doing that. We can't get to God. You must see your pastor. You understand? The man of God who will see vision for you, who will get prophecy for you, who will hear God for you, who will pray for you. You understand? In fact, you have assessed your spirituality. Are you getting my point? You've assessed it. So somebody is now, you understand, a consultant handling everything for you. So you just sit down and relax like this. Oh, praise God for you. Until one day, you find out you have actually sold yourself. Praise the name of the Lord, brethren. But now we together, never assess your spirituality. Nobody should hear for you. Nobody should pray for you. Now, I hope you understand me very well. Yes, we minister to one another, but each person must take responsibility for his life. You must take responsibility for your life. Don't give it out to anybody. Praise the name of the Lord. And brethren, you see, when Absalom knew that the time was right, he now called a meeting and told David, look, I am going to have fellowship somewhere. And praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. I have praise God. We'll see how it goes. God help us. Praise the name of the Lord. And Absalom began to build this thing up. Brethren, our lifestyle matters. I keep saying this, brethren, the choices you make, you must be conscious that you cannot live anyhow. If you follow after the flesh, you will do what now? That, what does it mean to follow after the flesh? You know, the flesh gives signals. It sends impulses. You know, anger is an impulse, isn't it? It's an impulse that you respond to. Lust is an impulse. It's a signal that you do what now? You respond to. And if you keep responding to the wrong impulses, you are on the way to what now? To death. Now, if you start responding to the right impulses, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, you keep responding with all your heart, you are on the way to what now? To life. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, as this thing built up, here comes a man. I won't go do Absalom in details. Here comes a man. His name is Ahithophel. Brother of what now? Folly. Foolishness. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Ahithophel is a type of another man. His name is Judas Iscariot. They are twin brothers. Praise the name of the Lord. They are from the same mother. Okay. So, now Ahithophel, you know, nobody knows why, you know, he chose to support, even though some people felt it was because of what happened to Bathsheba. Because Ahithophel is Bathsheba's uncle. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, are we together? Whatever it was, Ahithophel joined Absalom. Now, that got David very worried. And because this man was a man gifted, the problem with him, he could give counsel for light. He could also give counsel for what now? Darkness. Are you getting my point? So you can have a ministry, you can have an ability, you can have a grace. Okay. 15. Oh. Is that correct? Oh my God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So Ahithophel supported Absalom. And he did something very, 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 very unusual. You know, David woke up one day and somebody came and said, the heart of the men of Israel have shifted to Absalom. Brethren, as I'm talking to you, there's been a shift of allegiance. There's been a shift of allegiance. There's been a shift of allegiance, praise the name of the Lord, towards this mystery. And it's been happening. And part of why we're here is because God wants us to weigh our hearts. You need to weigh the things that your heart is inclined to. You need to weigh it. You need to ask the Lord to open it up to you so that you might see it and know how to react and respond to it. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, brethren, we see a situation where David had to flee. You remember Luke chapter 19, when the people of that nation said, "We don't want this man to rule over us." Yes, and that's what happened. David left Jerusalem. But there was something he did. The Bible says he left 10 women who were concubines to keep the house when he left. Now, unfortunately for these women, they did not have the power. It was Ahithophel who told David. First counsel was, "David, go into your father's concubines." Sorry, Absalom, "go into your father's concubines." Why did he do that? Absalom wanted to make sure that David and Absalom, sorry, Ahithophel wanted to make sure that David and Absalom would never reconcile. Are you getting my point? The breach between the father and the son is going to be broken permanently. It was an insult that there's no way. You know, Absalom had done things in the past and David brought him back. This one, no way back. And you see, the enemy wants to do that. Bring the people of God to a place where there's no way back. And he said, when you do this, the people who are with you know that this is a fight to what now? To the finish. So their hands are going to be strong. They know that it's either you kill or you be killed. No mercy, no reconciliation, no settlement. Do you understand the point? So that's all out battle. Now, Absalom took that advice. And the people knew that that's it. Second, he said, "Let me go after David this night. While he is weary, discouraged, weak-handed." Are you getting my point? Unsettled, discouraged. I mean, the people, you know, David left. It wasn't just him, his wives, his children. Do you understand the point? There were a lot of people in that company. And so they were going to be tired, discouraged, wondering. You know, one day we were in the palace, this day we are fugitives and vagabonds. Absalom said, "Let me go after them this night, this hour of darkness. I have power this night. Let me go after them." When, you know, the enemy wants to catch us when we are still in this state. You know, say, "For wherefore strengthen the feeble knees and the hands that are hanging down." You know, we're in a state of weakness, we're in a state of, you know, carnality, sensuality, we're in a state where we're still affected and influenced by the things in our environment. This destruction wants to catch up with us when the church is not yet what now? Ready. Praise the name of the Lord. And, you know, as God will have it, the Lord left something. Hushai was left. David said, "Stay back, please, so that perhaps you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Please." And as God will have it, this time around, Hushai spoke up and said, "This time, this counsel is not good." Praise the name of the Lord. And he managed to discourage them. He put some little fear into them. That this man, your father's soldiers, you know them very well. They are mighty men, oh. So let's not just jump on them like that. You know, and do you know why? You know, David had come to the brook of Kidron. He had crossed the brook of Kidron. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I can't get into that. Now, cross the brook of Kidron. But he was still, in fact, he said, "I will wait for you at the river Jordan," the crossing. Amplifier says the ford of Jordan, you know, where you can cross this and by that. He said, "I'll wait there until you bring me word. What next?" Now, I believe that the Lord is somewhere now waiting to hear my position. Now let me see if I can get that. You know, when you look at the story of Job, now the Job was somewhere. You know, Job is a type of our great high priest ministering to the sons. When they do this, he would make offerings for them. He was always making intercession for them. Now somewhere somebody comes to the first news. There's been a devastation. Praise the name of the Lord. The Babylonians have captured, you understand, the church. And I'm the one who what now escaped, the remnant. There is always a remnant. I am escaped to bring you word. There will be a people who are always standing in the watch, telling the Lord, you know, what's his name? Elijah says, I am the only one left. They have, you know, destroyed the altars. There's always a remnant who will be speaking to the Lord in the place of intercession. Say, look, this is what is happening in the church. Praise the name of the Lord. And he says, somewhere else they were in the house, and the wind came from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. Now, of course, that is church. Now, there are four pillars of church life, according to the book of Acts of the Apostles. The apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, what now? Prayers, and what now? Fellowship. These are the things that constitute the four pillars of the church life. The church is, you know, built on these four, you know, pillars. Now, this wind came and smote the whole thing. And what happened? The house collapsed. Praise the name of the Lord. I am the only one left. I've come to report to you. There is always a people who are sighing about what is going on in Jerusalem. Are you understanding the point? There is always a remnant who are praying and crying and laboring. And you must also look at what is going on in your own life. And you're going to tell God, say, Lord, there's a rebellion here, but I am not a part of it. Do you understand the point? Something is happening here. Say, Lord, I'm not part of this thing. Please judge it. Do you understand the point? I don't support it. David said, the sons of Zeruiah are too strong for me. Hallelujah. You know, please judge this situation. I will refuse to identify with it. Praise the name of the Lord. That way I'm saving my head. Do you understand the point? Oh, what's his name? Sheba, the son of Bichri, raised up rebellion against David and ran into a city. And Joab came to that city and was battering the city. And the woman said, are you going to destroy the Lord's inheritance? You know, sometimes when we are going through tribulation, it looks like God is, you understand, at me, left, right, and center. And he said, no, there is something inside you that is rebelling against the Lord. Cut off his head, throw it over the wall, and the storm will over. Jonah said, cast me into the sea, and this will over. Praise the name of the Lord. God is after something inside us. Praise the name of the Lord. He's after something inside us. That carnal mind that refuses to acknowledge the government and the headship of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a battle for the mind. You see, when, you know what's his name now? Ahithophel say? He said, when I get to them, I will smite only the king. Do you understand? Once I smite the king, the people will have no direction anymore. They will simply do what now? Follow you back. You know, there is a contest for headship. You understand? If you find out, the essence of this kingdom gospel is the headship of Christ, isn't it? It is the fulcrum, the fundamental of this thing. It is the government of Christ. And that's what the enemy wants to smite. Take away the headship, and the people will just return sheepishly back to Egypt. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, because that is key. You know, when they came to Jesus, you remember Judas brought the men. They said, whom do you seek? They said, we seek who now? Jesus, the head. That's what we want. You know, Jesus said, if you want me, let this man go. You can't have me and have them. Praise the name of the Lord. You take me, you release them. Praise the name of the Lord. That's the truth of the matter. And they didn't know he was going to be released. So this was the plan. And David did not know this plan. But Hushai sent word to him. So you have crossed Kidron. You need to cross what now? Jordan. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, Jordan is the boundary. Beyond Jordan, the enemy has no power. Do you understand me, brother? There is a place in God that God wants to bring us through. You see, Jordan is the boundary between into the promised land. Once you get to Jordan, death stops there. Are we together, brethren? You see, when Israel, when Jacob and Laban sorted themselves out, they put up a pillar, wasn't it? and said, this pillar is a boundary between you and me. You can no longer cross to do me harm. Somewhere along the line, brethren, something will stop. When they crossed Jordan, you know what they did? They put what now? Pillars right inside the water. And they said, if your children ask you what these things mean, tell them that at this point, the matter was what now? Settled. Praise the name of the Lord. Death had no more power. Praise the name of the Lord. Sin had no more power. The dragon had no more power. Praise the name of the Lord. The world has no more what now? Power. Beyond the Jordan. Praise the name of the Lord. And you see, the moment they crossed Jordan, if you read Joshua chapter 5, the moment they crossed the Jordan, the kings of Canaan began to tremble. They knew it was all over. The moment David crossed the Jordan, Ahithophel knew that the battle was what now? Over. He knew it. See, because the Bible said that before the morning, every one of David's men had what? Had crossed over. Why? Because they got word. Thus and thus had Ahithophel planned against you. Do you know what is the plan against you? Do you know that the enemy wants to overtake you while you are still doing church, doing politics? Do you understand the point? Going on vacation. Do you understand the point? You know, just playing around. Something wants to overtake you. Praise the name of the Lord. David did not take it lightly. They could have been tired that night. I'm sure they had a long journey. I'm sure they must have been lying down. And David had to send somebody blow a trumpet in the camp. Tell every man to do what? Wake up. Oh, we're tired. I mean, David said, look, this is not a matter of tiredness. You understand? You need to do what? Get up. We need to cross over tonight. Tonight, we need to cross over. And brethren, I want to close with something. I don't know how we're going to do that. John said, 1 John chapter 2, we know that we have crossed over from death unto life because we love the brethren. God has given us one indice to know if you are actually transiting from death to what now? To life. Do you understand? He said, if you hate your brother, you are in darkness until when? Now. I'm not talking about yesterday. You are in darkness until now. Do you understand it, brethren? If you hate your brother, you are dwelling in darkness. Because John said, this is what I'm writing, a new commandment. It's time. Jesus, in John chapter 13, that night, he said he knew that he was going back to the Father. He was going out of the world. But then it's time to get out of this world. Are you getting my point? This frequency where the dragon has power, it's time to get out of it. Because the dragon is going to exercise his power over all that dwell upon the earth. It's not whether you're born again or not born again. It's a question of all them that dwell upon. You see, this earth has energy. I don't know if you know in physics that the earth is a magnet. Does anybody know that here? This earth is a magnet. There's a pull from the earth that keeps everything bound to the earth. But there is a greater power that releases us from the earth and lifts us into the heavens. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so this crossing over is fundamental. He says to his servants, said, I am going back to the Father. It is time, brethren. There is a dwelling place in God. There's a place, there's a life of the Spirit that God is drawing us onto. It is our only place of safety in this time. And it's something that we must not compromise. We must not take for granted. We must not joke about it. There is a life in the Spirit. It's available. Moses said, thou will bring them out. Thou will do what? Plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. That's where he wants to establish you. It's a life of the Spirit. Where my motivations come from the Spirit. My entertainment come from the Spirit. I want to stay like this and be seeing visions like John. Do you understand the point? Those are watching, they are listening. I'm watching my own. Are you getting my point? I want to see things like Daniel. You see, we have had the understanding that these things are way out things. They are not. They are the normal life. When the eyes of our inner man are what now? Opened. There are visions from God. Ezekiel was in the bank by among the captives. He was actually among the dead. Paul said, if by any means I might experience that power that lifts me out from among the dead, even while I'm still in the body. So when they were there, he saw visions of God. God wants to captivate us. And he wants to lift us out. So Jesus did something. He set a pattern. Now, the Bible says he loved his disciples. Is that what the Bible says? He loved them to the very end. Love to the uttermost. Now, it's a pattern set there. It was time to be lifted up. And the key was what now? Love. He took a towel, gathered himself, humbled himself, and began to wash the feet of the disciples. Praise the name of the Lord. He began to wash their feet. And he said, you know what I have done to you? This is what you are going to do to your brethren. Praise the name of the Lord. I tell you something. The apex of our spiritual development is not signs and wonders. It's love. Praise the name of the Lord. That is the apex. And that is how men shall know that we are his disciples. In fact, that is the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, when we think about manifestation, we're thinking about power. You understand the point? You know, miracles and all that. That's part of it. But the key thing is what now? Love. And that's what happened. You know, I want to close with Joseph and his brethren. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I have 5 minutes. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, are we together? Now, let's see. Joseph had a problem. Remember? And his brethren hated him. They said, behold the dreamer. This one said, here comes the sun. Are you understanding that now? Say, let us kill him and see what will become of his dreams. Let us kill him and the inheritance will be what now? Ours. The issue is, why must he die? There's something that the enemy is out for. You know, when Jonathan asked Saul, why do you hate David so much? What did David do to you? And Saul said, you are very foolish. Do you understand? Don't you understand that as long as the son of Jesse is alive, your kingdom cannot continue? And that's the truth. The flesh cannot prevail when David is in government. Are we together? And brethren, David represents, like I said, the rule of the heavens, the government of Christ in my life. A soul submitted to the headship of who now? Of Christ. Living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. And the enemy is attacking that. Praise the name of the Lord. Is attacking that. So the brothers of Joseph hated Joseph because Joseph put the father's interests above their own interests, his own interests. You know, these people were looking after the father's flock and they had their own flock. You understand the point? Two businesses going on at the same time. So when the father's sheep will give birth to 5, they will declare 3. Or they will declare 2 and then keep 3. So somehow the father's flock was dwindling and their own was what now? Increasing. You know, Paul said many seek their own interest. It's just church business for you. And Joseph said, brother, this thing is not good. Do you understand the point? This thing is not right. And they hated Joseph. But the father loved Joseph because the Lord knows them that are his. And eventually they cast him into the dungeon. And they sold him into Egypt. You see, but that's God. What they planned for evil. They paid Joseph's transport fare to Egypt. Are you getting my point? And positioned him for the purpose that God had for him. But that wasn't the point. Eventually, the famine will bring them to Egypt. And when they came, they were only 10. Oh! Joseph said, these people have done to Benjamin what they did to me. Are you understanding the point? And so he was very harsh with them. He said, you are spies. Now, who is a spy? A spy is a host for a spirit. When a spirit comes here to know what we're doing in fellowship, he doesn't come, he has to come through somebody to spy out our liberty. Praise the name of the Lord. And they said, no, we are not spies. We are true men. And we are sons of one man. And Joseph said, fine, by your words, you're going to be proved. So, you must bring that... you understand? The brother, you say, is with the father. You must bring him. Because the father is at the center of this whole thing. And he says, if I don't see... What's left? 5 minutes. Okay, 5 minutes. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I don't see this one, then... In fact, he locked them up for 3 days. And on the third day, he released them. I said, go bring your brother. Let me keep one of you back here. And he kept Simeon. Simeon was a very nasty piece of work. Instruments of cruelty was inside him. Now, God wants to judge that. The capacity to do, you know, instruments of wickedness. And so, they left and were able to persuade their father to release Benjamin. It was because Judah shorted his two sons. Do you understand? They didn't be shorted for Jacob, for Benjamin. So they came. So when Joseph saw them, praise God. Hallelujah. They had passed test one. And he set a feast for them. Do you understand the point? He set a feast for them. And he set them in order of their birth. You know, they began to see that there's something going on here. We don't understand. You understand? So he put Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Of course, Joseph is there. Benjamin. Praise the name of the Lord. And the people were really wondering. You know, sometimes we really get the feel that there is God, isn't it? There are things that happen. We wonder, you know, how could these things go on like this? Praise the name of the Lord. You know, and then he gave Benjamin 5 times. And they were wondering, what's going on here? You know, and then they were talking among themselves. You understand the point? Initially, they say, look, it's because of Joseph. How did they know that? I don't know. But I'm sure their conscience troubled them. This thing happened maybe like 14 years after ago. That's what happened. He said, it must be because of Joseph. And Reuben said, I told you not to touch this boy. You didn't hear me. And Joseph was looking like this. Do you understand? Keeping his face what now? Blank. Meanwhile, his heart was beating. You know, because he spoke to an interpreter, they didn't know he was hearing them. And brethren, you see, as we relate amongst ourselves, the Lord sees our hearts. Are you getting my point? We need to know that. But because he goes through an interpreter, sometimes the ministry of the word and all that, we don't understand. Then he now went for the final test. He took his cup, put inside the Benjamin's sack, and let them go. And then he pursued them and he overtook them, brought them back. Now this was the ultimate test. And of course the game would have been, oh, whoever causes the trouble, let him bear the trouble. As you made your bed, so you must lie on it. You know, that would have been the natural. He was testing them to know the bond. And at this point in time, something happened. The brethren said, Joseph said, no problem. The man who is responsible, he will be my slave. Praise the name of the Lord. And then they said, no, Judah. That's where Judah got the right to rule. It wasn't because he did any mighty work. It was simply because he laid down his life for his brethren. So this is the breed, the seed, the pedigree that will give you kingship. Amen. It's not the miracle. It is the love and the ability to lay down your life for your brethren. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, when Joseph saw that, of course, that's Jesus. He said, every man, get out. And it was Joseph and his brethren. And he said, I am Joseph. There is a revelation of Jesus Christ that will not come until our love is made complete. Praise the name of the Lord. And brethren, darkness is passing away in our hearts. And the love for the body and for one another is coming. Praise the name of the Lord. I pray, brethren, that we understand. You see, darkness, if you hate your brother, you are in darkness. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Let's respond to this word. They are serious words, and we we need the help of God to help us, you know, to respond appropriately. Say, once have you spoken, twice have we heard. We have heard with our natural ears, and we have also heard with our spiritual ears. Hallelujah. Well, let's reflect on these words and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. It's about having Jesus, you know, to comfort in us. He must comfort in my life. You know, and every other thing, whatever they may be, they will begin to disappear. Let them begin to thin out, and they, you know, be completely out of our vision. You know, I cannot, you know, go through some of the salient points that our brother has brought forth, but you know, the whole message, you know, has to do with how we have received this word, this message, and in what way have we related to it, so that there will be evidence that which we have heard, you know, is true, and we are living by it. You know, we have been told of different instances in the Old Testament that are like parables, you know, towards our relationship with Christ and the church ought to be, and our individual lives, you know, bringing people's lives and experiences to relate the truth of what we have been told. Because it becomes clearer when we see it that way, so that we will not take it lightly. Let's take this song and we will begin to round up. Almighty Christ, comfort in me. Hallelujah. Oh, Almighty Christ, comfort in me. My will, my way, I yield to thee. All buried saints, a fruitful song. Oh, praise the Lord. It won't be long. Almighty Christ, comfort in me. My will, my way, I yield to thee.
barley sing. A fruitful song. Oh, praise the name. It won't be. Almighty Christ, Almighty. Oh, comfort in me. My will, my way. I yield to thee. Oh, barren sing. A fruitful song. Oh, praise the name. It won't be long.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think the night is fast spent. And we're all tired. Just a time to really, you know, thank God for the way He has led us through. Most grateful that we have been very patient, and the Lord has blessed us tremendously through many ministries. We really want to bless His name, and I think we just round up and okay. For the announcements.
Praise God. And Father Lord, even as we retreat to our various rooms and we rest tonight, we trust that in our subconscious, my God, you are instructing us. You are changing us into, yes, your image and likeness, true and true, in the name of the Lord. In our waking tomorrow as we contemplate, yes, another day in your presence, my God, visit us. Hallelujah. Cause us to be alert. Cause us to gain lost territories in the realm of our soul as we come, my God. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We need to leave here in 1 minute. You have 60 seconds. God bless you. Tomorrow, 10 o'clock, start prompt, please. Thank you.